TikTok is very minimal effort, depending on the video yeah. you're doing. And it has, as of right this, 70,000
views. 70,000
views?
Want to give me a little intro about yourself, like who you are, where you live, all that fun stuff.
All the exciting information.
So
my name is Rebecca Short. I'm 26. I'm a Taurus Sun, Virgo Moon, Sagittarius Rising, and I'm from.
I love how that's the second thing that you say.
I think it's really important.
Like, you know what's
I'm
funny?
So bad.
I actually, like, when I, like, watch you, like, I'm conscious that you're a Taurus. Like, not in a bad way. I just know a lot about Tauruses, and I'm just conscious yeah. that you're a Taurus. Like, I know that you're a Taurus. I would never forget that. I didn't know the other details, but anyway, sorry.
Oh, yeah. The whole birth chart. I'm from and currently living in Kerry in Ireland, like, in a town. The biggest town, I think, in Kerry, Tralee. And normally I'm a beauty and kind of lifestyle editor in a local advertising magazine, as well as doing makeup freelance, but obviously coronavirus, so doing neither of those things.
Yeah, are you in college as well, or you're finished?
No, I tried college multiple times and it wasn't my vibe at all.
And did you teach yourself makeup?
No, I did. I was self-taught initially, like most makeup artists, and then at the time I was getting into makeup, not many people were self-taught. So like, to get a job on counter, you had to have a qualification. Like, they wouldn't even look yeah. at your CV. So I did a random makeup course in Dublin. I moved to Dublin and I don't even think it's still around. Like, it was a very basic course, but it was eye tech. So the main thing with makeup is, like, if you have your international qualification, you can like work all over the world. But that whole industry has totally changed now. But so that it was like a 3-month course, but I did study makeup. And that was the only thing I studied, because the other things just weren't for me.
And you, did you just like love makeup forever? Is that?
No, not at all. I was so bad. Oh my God. I was the worst. Like, I only got into makeup properly when I dropped out of college. So like, all my life, like, I was never into makeup. Like, I was so bad, and I had really bad skin, so I only used makeup as like a coverage kind of thing. And then I went to UL for a month and was like, no, like, this isn't me, I'm not wasting my time or energy. And so I dropped out, and then I like found YouTube and discovered makeup, and it kind of all stemmed from there.
Okay, so people, I don't know if you said this already, but the reason that I know you, or that I follow you, is because you make YouTube videos, and as we were discussing before we started recording, they're kind of like random, lifestyle-y bits and pieces, fun stuff thrown in there, and some makeup, and then obviously you have started to grow a following on Instagram as well. But it's funny, I'll just throw out the fun fact of how I discovered Rebecca, because obviously we're both from Ireland, but like, we've never met, and I like don't even live in Ireland
yeah, like
anymore.
Internet friends.
I was watching the Shane Dawson series on, what is it even called? It was like the launch.
Oh,
of the
it was so interesting. It was his series with Jeffree Star, and they went like, what was it? The Beautiful Life of, and it was all different kind of, like, it was like The Beautiful Life of Jeffree Star, The Beautiful Life of, the last one was The Beautiful Life of Shane Dawson, I'm pretty sure. But I don't know, did he have a particular name?
It was basically this crazy big series on YouTube. Actually, if you haven't seen it, I 100% recommend it if you're interested in the beauty industry. And I mean, Shane is great fun, and there's such
his
good,
editing,
I just feel like,
oh my God, his,
well,
like,
think it's
the
good.
Way he makes videos is like, I feel like when you make videos, you understand that, like, even like the little things, if him and someone are talking, and next thing it flashes back to like something he said before, like his mind, like,
yeah,
the videos, I don't know. Well, he has an editor, like, but
yeah, so the whole, I mean, I do love Shane Dawson and Jeffree Star. I just like, I wouldn't get too much into, I don't know them that long, kind of in the last like maybe 2 years, but I just love how open they are about what the work that they do and how real they are. And this whole series that Rebecca was on was basically the launch of like Jeffree Star Cosmetics did a partnership with Shane Dawson and they launched a palette together. And it was kind of like how the palette came together, how they developed the colors, everything else. And it was like this whole YouTube series, like each video was like an hour long. But in when the palette launched, people were trying to obviously get their hands on it. And I believe that was Beauty Bay that it was sold on, that you could get it in Ireland. And Rebecca was filmed her reaction to trying getting the palette, which was so funny. And I was like, that's an Irish accent in this YouTuber. Like he has like, what, 15 million subscribers? Like I was like, oh, this Irish girl is featured on this channel. So I guess that's kind of how we initially connected. But I feel like you're like following, and this kind of is, I suppose a lot of it is about content creation and the kind of message that you put out to your followers and fans. Do you know what kind of initially sparked the idea for you to start YouTube?
Well, I always loved, like I've loved YouTube for the longest time. Like I think it was, I was like, when I was in school and I found Nicole Guerrero, Jaclyn Hill, Carly Bible, like the OG YouTubers, and I found them. And I was like, this is so interesting. Like because like even my mom always says now, she was like, you all, like I always either wanted to be an actress or on TV, or like I was very out there. And I remember finding YouTube and I was like, this is so interesting. Like, hold on. But, you know, I didn't know anyone in Ireland who was really doing it. Like the closest Ireland was Zoella back in the day. And I always had an interest and I was always kind of on and off being like, I'll do it or whatever. But I always felt I never had the perfect lighting or the perfect camera or the perfect, you know, I always found an excuse in my head to kind of put it off. But then I just bit the, like my first ever video, which is actually hilarious. And I don't know where it's gone. It's deep in the internet and I cannot find it. I don't know. I must have deleted it when I was younger, but I went on a J1 with my friends and I vlogged it. Like,
where did you go?
We went to San Diego when I was like 19, 20. Yeah. So like 6 years ago. So if I had obviously continued doing those vlogs, like I'm such an idiot. I was like, why did I just do one and stop? But I don't, like, I vlogged like our whole like leaving Ireland and like it was so hilarious. And like vlogs being in Target, like shopping for the airbeds for the apartment with like 8 of us in it. Because it was a J1.
Wouldn't you love to watch that like back?
I wanted to do a video where I reacted to it and I can't, I don't know where it is because obviously I didn't back it up and it's not on YouTube anymore and I don't know where it went.
Do you think that you deleted it?
I think I must have deleted it when I was like, no, I'm getting into YouTube now and I don't want people to think like that's my vibe. But now looking back, I'm like, that's hilarious. Like,
yeah,
I must have deleted it and it must be on my old laptop, which I've not a notion where that is either. Like,
yeah. So you kind of always had that like thing about, and like I do, for anybody who has watched Rebecca's videos or is going to watch them after this podcast, like you have a very natural energy behind the camera, or sorry, in front of the camera. Like you have a very, very natural energy. Like it does make sense that you've kind of always wanted to do some sort of like acting or YouTubing, and that you've always loved YouTube.
I think that comes from, like, I was in stage school from age three or four. Like I was never shy because obviously that was like, there's a place in Kerry, my hometown, it's called Sheemsa Theatre. It's like a folk theatre.
Yeah.
And so I was on stage from a very young age and that was always being filmed and like all those things. So I never kind of had that because I know it's so natural to me and it's so mind-boggling that, do you know when something's natural to you, you can't comprehend how other people would feel weird. Like, yes. I pull out my vlog camera sometimes in front of the girls and they like run away and I'm like, what's wrong with you? Like, I was like, yeah, would I be editing this? So, you know, I can put out anything. Yeah. And I'm like, it's only a camera, like.
Yeah, yeah. That, yeah, I know, it is funny. I'm like that with music. Like I was also like in stage school, not in like stage school, like kind of permanently, but in and out of like different classes and singing and theater and dancing. And I tried it all and like very drawn towards like, you know, music. And it just, to me, I just don't know anything else except like that love for music and that desire to be around music or to be listening to music all the time. So for me, it's just like a natural thing. Were you like acting at that point, or was it like dancing? Was it anything specific?
So I went to stage, so it was like all three. So I went to a stage school and it was like you'd have acting classes, singing classes, dancing classes. And then at the end of the year, you'd put on a show. And yeah, it was always kind of like variety shows. So we did like, but it was met like there'd be like a piece from maybe Annie or a piece from...
Yeah, I did loads Wicked. Of those shows.
Yeah, like Wicked or like Les Mis or anything like. And it was so fun. Like I wasn't like drunk getting the main roles or anything. Like I wasn't great at singing or anything, but it was just the fun of it and like doing the acting skits and the dancing, and like I just loved it. And I would get out of school then when you're practicing for the shows and like me.
Yeah, I was the same. It's like doing some singing, like training.
Yeah, and you'd be like the stage show crew, and we'd be like, "Oh, we have to leave early. Like we have a show."
Yeah.
And we thought we were actually the best people ever. Like,
I know. Oh my god! And would you recommend, like, say somebody is listening to this, they want to get on YouTube, they feel like maybe like you, they don't have the best lighting, or they think that they don't have the right camera and everything else. Would you, like, just to be very honest, like, would you advise people, do you think that YouTube is for everybody, or do you think there's a specific type of person or people?
If you want to go, I get so many messages from people being like, I want to start YouTube. Like, what do I do? What do I need? Like, how do I do it? Like, what should my first video be? Like, all this. And out of the 50 plus people I've told to like go for it, you know, you don't need much, like just kind of do a video that, you know, if you like watching vlogs, maybe try vlogging. If you like watching story time videos and you're interesting or you have some level of story, do story videos. If you like makeup, just start it. Like I just tell everyone, just start and kind of feel it out for themselves. And yeah, out of like the 50 plus people I've told to do that, only one person has actually gone and bit the bullet and actually did it and like sent me her video and was like, oh, I just started YouTube because I said I stopped putting it off, kind of thing.
Amazing. That's crazy though, isn't it?
Oh, it's because I feel like when I started, like I had no one directly accessible to me that I could message. Like it's not like I could message Jaclyn Hill, do you know, that kind of way. Well, I could have, but like I don't know what
she wouldn't probably responded.
Yeah, and like the amount of messages she was getting, and like, do you know, I had no, like, someone. I wasn't following anyone small enough to like reach out directly. Whereas because obviously I only have a few thousand on whether it's Instagram or YouTube, like I'm a lot more accessible, so people can, you know, because I always found that like I want to do it, but I have no idea how. I have no idea how to even start or what it even means, kind of thing. So I think anyone can do it. Like if you want to do it, I feel like the only people who want to do it are the people who can, if that makes sense.
Yes. Yeah. I think it's just a basic decision. Like people are like, well, how did you start a podcast? And I'm like, I went on Amazon and I bought the equipment. And I'm not saying this to be an asshole, like, but I'm just saying I literally went on Amazon, bought the equipment, and then just figured it out, Googled how to do it, and really figured it out. And like, to your point, like I started off with this idea about the podcast, but like I'm nearly a year, I'll be a year into it in July. And even at this point,
it's your birthday.
Yeah. And like, my birthday's in July as well, actually. It's funny, but I kind of now only realize after doing so many episodes that I'm kind of like, now I feel like I know what I want to do with this podcast. And it's kind of only happening now. And I knew at the beginning that I was going to make mistakes. I was like, there is no way that my first episode is going to be what I want it to be. Mind you, my first episode, I'm still like with Caroline Four, and like it still does really well. And like, I actually really love that episode. But you know, you make mistakes along the way. And I think that's really how you do. And I think the only reason that I have a podcast is because I wanted to have a podcast. I'm not specifically talented to do podcasting or had this like training or anything like that. I just wanted it, you know?
Yeah, you wanted to do it and you figured it out.
Yeah. So I think, and I would encourage people on who are thinking about YouTube and podcasting to do the same, you know?
Yeah. I'm like so self-taught with like editing and like making thumbnails, like everything I know how to do, I've taught myself how to do it.
Yeah. And I would just say there's no shame in also giving up and just being like, that wasn't for me, you know?
Yeah, that's not my vibe. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So what would be like some of your favorite YouTubers then? I'm interested.
Oh my God. This was actually, when you sent me this question, I was like, oh, I really had to think because I'm so varied in what I watch. And I only realized that when I was like thinking, okay, who are my favorite YouTubers now? So what I did is I went through my subscription box and people, I classify my favorites as like, no matter what video they upload, I will watch it.
Okay.
So I have a very diverse list here. So I have Strashme, who was the recent winner of James Charles. Did you see that? The instant influencer thing.
Like, what is this? Is so random.
Wait, that's only the first person. Like, wait till you get down the list.
I did see that guy, but I don't know him. I wouldn't know him to see or anything, but I did see a bit of it. Yeah.
Yeah, so Strashme was the girl who won, and I really enjoy her energy. So she's actually one of my recent favorites. Then I have Kelly Stamps. Have you heard of Kelly Stamps?
I think I have heard of her, yeah.
She's like only breaking out on YouTube now. So she had like 6,000 followers in January, and now she's like 150, 60,000. So, and she actually just moved to New York as well. But she's just hilarious. I just love her sense of humor. Then we have Tara Marr, which I know you know because I listened to your podcast with her, fellow Irish gal. Oh, I can't miss any of her videos.
Yeah, and you said about Shane Dawson's editing. I think Tara has
Tara's editing is next. Like, it's so aesthetically pleasing.
But she has like an insane eye for things. Like, she is just born to
she
like
is
do that stuff.
Old, like. Yeah.
Yeah, she is.
Like, I watch her vlogs and I'm like, human. Yeah, I watch her vlogs and I'm like, oh, okay, Rebecca, you think you are, but I feel like it's her editing style that is just unmatched. Like, it's so good.
But also her skin, her like every like her minimal makeup, like everything. I could never.
Yeah, no, I adore her vibe. I adore. So I love Tamara. I never miss any of her videos. Then I have Tana Mojo, which controversial one, but I think she's absolutely hilarious. I have a lot of American favorites, to be honest. Like, there's not many non-American favorites on this list. So go on.
Would Jeffree Star or Shane Dawson be on that list or no?
Yeah. So I have Shane Dawson because I never miss any of his videos. Jeffree is touch and go with me because he's very controversial and he's hated by so many and like you either love him or hate him, but I wouldn't like run. I loved his series with Shane Dawson. I loved seeing like that side, like the business side and like the lifestyle, and I think his brain for like he has so many, like he's not just a YouTuber, you're that kind of way, like he's multifaceted, so I do think he's very interesting, but he's not like I have here Jackie Aina. I have Skincare by Hiram or Hiram.
I love him. Can I just tell you about him, right? So, because I work in beauty, I found him like a few months ago and I was like, this guy knows his stuff. So
yeah.
I'll put the link in the description box for anybody who's listening who's like, who the hell is this guy? But he's basically from Hawaii. Rebecca, I was like, this guy is unreal. He literally had like 20,000 YouTube subscribers. And I think now he's like...
He has millions. Or
he had so little. Like, and so I put together a proposal for my client because I was like, this guy knows his stuff. And I was like,
need
to get on him. So whatever happened with the project, but the client kind of went back and forth. They loved him, but they were like, didn't make a decision. Then it kind of like it went away, and then they were like, oh my God, let's do something with somebody on YouTube now. And I was like, I pulled Skincare by Hiram up.
Hiram, yeah.
Yeah, and he was after blown up, and I was like, you guys can't afford him anymore. You know, like it was. Yeah. I was like, right. Like he's
they
unreal.
So missed the boat.
They so missed the boat, and I wanted to. We had like a personalized gift for him and everything, and I was like, I don't think the client could afford him because he's after blowing up. Like,
he has 2.14 million now.
Holy crap, that's insane. Because if you
found
are
him so early, or not early, so, but like when he was small,
he didn't even have like. I remember his Instagram followers like were in like single, because I was like, oh, if he's really, if he has a good Insta or YouTube following, maybe his Instagram is like huge. And then I went down and it was less than YouTube. And
I think
like,
it could have been TikTok that blew him up, to be honest.
Really?
Oh, TikTok is like, TikTok has power.
I know TikTok has power, but I didn't think that TikTok was like his third kind of like.
I'll check his name. Because that's how I found him. I found him on TikTok.
Okay, so for anybody who's like, what the hell are they talking about? He is
TikTok.
Yeah, and his name will be in the description box, but he is like, anything that I know about skincare or that I've learned about skincare working in the industry for 10 years, he like is. He basically speaks the truth about skincare, and he's basically puts together really easy videos to watch about things that you should avoid in skincare and why you should avoid them and what it can do to your skin and how your skin can be compromised with sensitivity without you even knowing. Like your skin doesn't have
the moisture barrier and everything.
Everything, yeah. And like breaking down the barrier on your skin using the wrong products. Like it's so important because all this damage and sensitivity that you can do by putting on the wrong skincare products can cause aging so much more than if you just avoided like fragrances and things like that. So
he's one of my new favorites. I admittedly I found him on TikTok. He has 3 million on TikTok. I found him on TikTok, which led me to his Insta, which led me to his YouTube. Then I have, who else do I have? Oh, Olivia Neal. She's Irish as well. She blew up as well. She's like Ireland's answer to Emma Chamberlain, basically.
So what's the deal with Emma Chamberlain?
Oh, I think a lot of people who watch YouTube, in my opinion, especially, I know in America, YouTube is like huge. Like a lot of people enjoy it, but in Ireland I feel like people my age, a lot of people my age would be like, oh, they'd be more Netflix people, like they wouldn't get the whole YouTube thing. Like a lot of my followers wouldn't even like think you have to pay to subscribe to me on YouTube, like don't even know. So I think Emma just, but I think she just hit it at the right time, and because of her age I think a lot of people can relate to her, but she's just like next level. But anyway,
what's
Olivia is, so Emma literally it's her personality. So I feel like on YouTube there's you could be like a beauty YouTuber or a lifestyle, you know, fashion or clothes or else you're a personality, and Emma is a personality. So she literally does, she's so like, she would do like having my birthday party on Omegle or a try on haul or cook with me or like Louis Vuitton full on brought her to Paris.
Isn't she controversial though, or no?
No, she's very not controversial, but a lot of, she's.
Oh,
so
you know
fine.
Who I'm thinking about is like that Caroline one. What's her name? Is it Caroline? Maybe I'm wrong. Oh my God.
I have no idea. Tana Mojo, who I mentioned, is very controversial.
Well,
but like
Tana
that
is crazy. Like she's mad. Like,
oh, she's mad, but like so entertaining. Such an entertainer.
Yeah, I do like her,
and she's not problematic in like a sense of like, you know, that she would be quote unquote cancelled. Like she doesn't do anything that's very wrong, like morally wrong, say. But she just like does wild things, if that makes sense.
Sorry, I was going to say Caroline Calloway, but she's actually just an Instagram person. But I feel like there was things said about her, but I don't know anything.
Yeah, and then who else do I have in my? Oh, I have Keelan Moncrief. She's Irish. I love her.
Keela.
Keelan. So it's K E E L I N, See, I like people because of their personalities. So I'll just watch anything they put up then, as opposed to like only watching people because of their beauty videos. Or, you know, with Skincare by Haram, I love his advice, so I follow him that way. But everyone else on the list is more personality based.
Yeah.
And then I have like 3 horoscope people that I follow that I live for.
Okay, well, I need to know the horoscope people.
So I have Jane International. So okay. she does weekly energy updates, where basically she does this like pick a card thing, and she has like 4 stones. So it could be like rose quartz or whatever else. And you like pick whatever stone you're drawn to, and you can either like ask a question or, you know, just listen to what she says. So you pick the deck that you're most drawn to, and she does like an energy update. And then every month she does like zodiac readings, so for all the signs. And then there's Nicholas Ashbaugh. All these people I have found through Tara and through her recommendations, like literally. Nicholas Ashbaugh, and then The Quietest Revolution.
Okay. For anybody who's interested in tarot, I love Tyler's tarot.
Who's he?
He's so funny. He's like this like fly by night kind of guy. Like he just basically like he recently bought a house in Vegas, so that now he has like a permanent home. But like he just like doesn't have, he said that he's never been in a relationship. He's probably like in his early 30s, and he does basically like all love tarot readings.
Yeah, I just searched him there.
Yeah.
I'm literally looking at their talking.
Like not rough and ready, but just like down and dirty like readings, and he'll do it from like his bathtub or whatever.
Yeah, I can.
He goes off on people. Like if people say, oh, you don't know what you're talking about, he pops off on people, like he goes crazy. But that's not the reason that I watch him. I think he's actually very accurate with so like crazy accurate with some.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, and watch him now.
Yeah, now some things, like sometimes you turn it on and you'd be just like, that's absolutely, it'd be like, you're going to get married, like this and that. But like other times you turn it on, you'd be like, that is so scarily accurate. And he just kind of gets your energy. So he does it with like the star signs.
Unreal.
So yeah, really like him. But, and I'll put these in the description box.
Yeah, I have so many. I adore YouTube. Like YouTube is like my fix. Like I don't watch Netflix, I watch YouTube.
Yeah, I feel like it's hard for me to find stuff that I like on YouTube. Like I love Jeffree Star, and not because I love him as a person. I think he's great, but I love like seeing the inside into like the lavish lifestyle and like,
oh my god, his house. Jesus.
His house and his dogs. Like he's
Did you see his house tour? Like he's with Mr. Kate.
I saw the house tour, but my jaw was like literally on the floor. Like I can't believe, well, I think the house is a bit unnecessary because I just don't know how you would ever need that much space. But like, remember when back in the day, like when you used to watch MTV Cribs.
Yeah, it's like better. It's like MTV Cribs on steroids.
how do you have a bigger house than like a select, like, then that's on
But
MTV
he has
Cribs.
So much money. Like, he has so many, like all his warehouses that he does, I'm pretty sure he does like James Charles's merch and like loads of other YouTubers like merch and product and like all this kind of stuff.
But like there's other like people in beauty that have that sell, like what about Huda Beauty?
I think Jeffree mightn't be as big on YouTube, but you, like, I'd say he has about 10 minimum streams of income. He has the makeup, then he has like the money to be made on YouTube, especially at his size, is astronomical. It all depends. It's actually very interesting. So it all depends where your views are coming from. So in America, obviously, say if you were to place an ad on YouTube in America, it would probably cost, I don't know how much. But then if you were to place the same ad in Ireland, it would cost way less. So if you have someone from Ireland watching your video, you earn less per view than an American view, if that makes sense.
So the more expensive the ad buy, the more,
yeah,
obviously the more money you're going to get.
So like, I think YouTube earned like 15 billion in ad revenue last year.
Holy.
Like YouTube, wow, in general. So all the content creators. So I can even see from my analytics, like, I think it's like 30% of my following is American, obviously because of the Shane Dawson thing. So like, I earn more from my American views than my Irish views, like way more, like five times more.
Okay.
So it's,
that's interesting.
So then, so he has 377 videos on YouTube. So all those videos are consistently making money,
mm-hmm,
every month. So a video, like if he gets, for example, $100 off each of those videos per month, like, and that's only YouTube.
Yeah, but how much, $100 for 300 videos?
Oh, no, but he, like, I'd probably get $100. Like, he'd probably get, like, 1,000.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, my God. I'm, like, seeing the figures now. I'm like, wow, okay, okay.
And, like, that's just a random number. Like, he probably, like, one that's video.
That's like a Lamborghini a month.
Yeah, and then that's only YouTube. So then sponsorships will be extra. I know he doesn't do sponsorships, but he might do like random product placement that no one knows about. And then he'd have all the makeup money. And then
and he like has, he's all getting everything for free as well. Like he's getting, I'm well, sure he pays.
Gets like Gucci and like Louis for like, they send him like custom stuff.
Yeah, but he definitely pays for a lot of stuff, oh, as I well.
Know. But he's so much more. I just don't like, he, it's just, he's such a powerhouse. Like he, YouTube is like, I'd say he's like the least of his money kind of thing.
Oh yeah. I would say YouTube is like just pocket change for him.
Yeah.
But then does he sell a lot of makeup though? Do you think he sells a lot of makeup?
Oh yeah. Like people who love Jeffree Star want every single thing he releases.
Yeah.
Like that conspiracy launch was the most insane thing, the most stressful thing I've ever done in my life. Like it, like they broke the entire internet, like all the sites, Beautylish, Beauty Bay, Morphe, and Jeffree's own website were all stalking it and they all crashed.
Yeah, yeah.
Like every single one. And like he wouldn't, like I'm assuming he paid a lot to like the web hosters or whatever to make sure that like they could handle the launch and like still.
Yeah, it's just like I'd nearly go back and watch that series again. Like I
it was so interesting. It was so interesting. And like how much he pays for, the other way he was saying like your average palette in Sephora probably costs like less than $10 to make.
Yeah, so, and they charge and then, like 50-60 quid.
Yeah, whereas he was like mine, like, but you can tell by his pack, I don't know if you own any of his things, but like it's weighty, like it's not cheap.
And would it be like, I know the Urban Decay like naked palettes would be kind of very thin and slim, but like is it in comparison,
it's thick, like it's
yeah
huge, like the like it's compared to the Urban Decay naked palettes, it's like comparing pennies to Louis Vuitton, like
yeah.
Yeah,
so is he saying that he has a very high it's cost crazy. Of product?
Of products, yeah, there's way more product.
Yeah.
There's more products and the packaging is way better.
Yeah, I mean, and I don't even think that he, because he makes his products at such a high, like it costs him so much to make his products because he uses such good ingredients and he also like goes all out on packaging. So I don't even think that his, the profit margin is that high. He could make it higher, you know. I don't think he, I think his intention is to make a luxurious product.
Yeah, for Jeffree to be like I wouldn't be shocked if he like totally rebranded, or not rebranded, but like, I don't know. Because I think a lot of his stuff at the moment is very colorful and pink and, you know, he goes all out.
Mm.
But I feel like as the year, like as it goes on, it'll get more like high end and high end and high end.
Do you,
like people who collect makeup have everything. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if he made a palette out of like solid gold or something. Like, it wouldn't actually shock me.
That's so true. And remember, I don't know if you saw this, but on kind of during the pandemic, in the kind of height of it, he was on Twitter, like literally giving out like $5,000 to like everybody who retweeted him. Like, he gave out like $100,000
for Cash App, but it was only America. I was sickened.
People were just like,
I don't have Cash App.
I think I should install Cash App, but like people, he was just giving out like thousands of dollars for people to pay their rent, to pay whatever. Like, I feel like he had the wrong cards, like real bad cards dealt to him when he was born, and when he started out, he had just like a complete shit deck of cards, and he kind of fell into bad stuff, and he kind of became a little bit of a spiteful person, but like has kind of come full circle, but
has like, had like a total mindset revamp.
And like has come the better, and he'll always be fighting demons because of what he's been through, but like,
oh yeah, and people will always hate him because
if it's on the internet, people won't like let it go, you know, even if it was back in like, even if it was 20 years ago, they just won't let it go. So
yeah,
he's very controversial. I love how he's talking about him for like 15 minutes.
I know, literally. So Jeffree Star.
This is the Jeffree Star podcast. I wanted to ask you about Instagram now. So like your content on Instagram versus your content on YouTube. I know that YouTube is a lot of work, and then, but Instagram is obviously more instant and like every day.
Yeah.
What way do you strategize around your Instagram channel and content?
I'm like, strategy doesn't even come into my remit. Like, strategy and me are like, I don't strategize anything, but my only strategy, I guess, is to keep it interesting and keep it like authentic. Like, my main strategy is authenticity and keeping it interesting, because I think, especially on Instagram, you can fall into such a hole of like trying to stay on trend or trying to do what other people are doing, or like trying to be brand friendly, or trying to, you know, be liked, or trying not to lose followers, or like, I feel like Instagram's such a fickle place that you can so fall into a trap of like not wanting to be unfollowed, not wanting to be problematic, not wanting to be controversial, or wanting to gain followers and like buying followers. So I have no real strategy, only that like Instagram was never a platform I focused on or thought anything would come out of, because I was like, I'm not perfect enough for Instagram, kind of thing. If that makes sense.
Yeah, I think we all think that.
So like, I was kind of like, oh, like my Instagram won't, like, I had up till April I had 2,000 followers. Like,
wow.
No, yeah, so it was over kind of quarantine that my Instagram really, I don't know where people are finding me from, YouTube, from TikTok, like I don't know where the people are coming from, or like people sharing it to their friends, and obviously people having more time, but I've like over doubled since the start of quarantine or lockdown or whatever.
That's insane.
And I was actually having for the longest. Like, I was like, all right, like, Instagram's just not a platform I can grow on, kind of thing. Like, I was like, okay, let's just leave Instagram. Or not leave it, like, I always post. But I think it's just my level of not caring that people relate to.
That is so, I think that is interesting, because I think, like, the people who do well on Instagram and put any effort in, like, there's so many Irish influencers that I follow and like love most of them to bits, like on a personal level or whatever, and respect them, but I'm just like, they look like they're putting in no effort, and it's not a bad thing, but I don't, you know, I'm like, are they, like, how do, like, I don't, sometimes I just don't get dressed, like, or I don't, like, I'll put on a face mask, I'll wash it, like, I don't look anyway presentable, yet these people are putting up photos every day, and they're just like, yeah, just hungover, and I'm like, how are you hungover? You look immaculate. Like,
yeah, I think people like the, like, I think a lot of people try to live an Instagram life, which is quite sad, but like, people are doing it for the gram, excuse the pun, but like, so I feel like it's such a weird, like, it's a strange platform, Instagram.
Yeah.
It's a strange world on Instagram, I feel. Or it can be, depending on who you follow.
Yeah, it is.
Like, a lot of young girls just follow, like, models from, like, LA. And that's their whole feed. So that's so damaging. Whereas I treat Instagram like I want to go on my Instagram and, like, be inspired or laugh. Or I've muted so many people. I only have, like, a certain amount of people show up on my feed and my stories. And I always interact. Like, I've gained so many Instagram internet friends. Like you, basically.
Yeah, I know. I'm the same. Like, one of the girls that just moved over here to New York, like, I kind of been chatting to her and now we're just like, it's like automatic friendship. Like, you kind of get to know people's vibes. But yeah, I don't follow any models on Instagram.
No, either do I. Like, the only, well, I follow, Iskra.
I've heard of her, I think, yeah.
Oh, she's stunning. But like, she's not like a size zero model. Do you get me? And she actually has a, not that she actually has a personality, that's a really bad thing to say, but she is more than just a model who posts pretty pictures, if that makes sense. But yeah, like, so many girls, like, gorgeous. Yeah, like, so many girls in my DMs are like, oh, I never thought of doing that. Like, I never thought of, you know, like, the typical, like, for example, do you know the Australian girl, Tammy Himbrow?
No, Tammy
Himbrow. Oh,
she, Himbrow, yeah, okay. Birthday.
Yeah, so, like, a lot of girls just follow her because she's absolutely drop-dead, like, quote-unquote, perfect life, like, two stunning children. She's only 26, like, and she had a boyfriend and they were, like, Instagram family goals kind of thing, if that makes sense. But a lot of
she
people
has just, she has like zero fat on her body. What's happening here?
I think she's like a personal trainer or like, and sells like booty programs and all that kind of thing. But it's like, so many girls page. Would follow just all girls that look like that and then go onto their Instagram feed and, like, you know, if your mindset isn't right, I don't think Instagram is a place for a lot of people.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to follow her because I don't particularly want to look like her. I think she's very cool, but...
Yeah, see, that's why I'd follow people, because I'm like, oh, they're cool now. I want to see what they're up to. Do that kind of way.
Yeah, I just think, like, that she's cool. Do I want to look like that? I don't think so.
Yeah.
No, but you know, no, whatever.
Yeah, but I think it's more with teenage girls that they, like... I can't imagine having Instagram when I was 13.
Yeah, I guess we didn't kind of, because I'm 28 and I'm like, I didn't have Instagram.
Yeah.
It is, I'm sure it's very hard.
Yeah. But I do think it's, like, I love Instagram. Like, I love posting and I think it's, like, when you have, like, so many people be messaging me, especially in the last 2 months, I think, because my account grew so much. That, like, I just love posting now because I enjoy keeping it interesting. And, like, I love seeing, I'm very strange as well. I love posting something that's, like, slightly more controversial and being like, all right, how many shares is this going to get? Like, how many people are going to share this, like, with stories?
Yeah. Do you get a lot of shares off your stories? I never even check.
Oh, so I'd, like, it's so funny. So with, like, say if I post a story where I was, like, dancing in the mirror, like, 50 plus shares immediately.
What? Yeah.
Or like if I posted, like when I did the pennies, like I put up a mini like pennies haul whatever yesterday, but there's one clip where I'm like, I was showing these pajama shorts but I got them in a bigger size because I normally like to like refin the drawstrings and on my waist and then just have it baggy. And I was saying that basically, I was like, oh, do you know, like, emphasize what you have or whatever, you know yourself. And that has like 15 shares, like just that clip where I have that text on it.
Yeah.
It's like, huh. Yeah, it's very interesting to see. And then I feel like a lot of people, their mind would go to like, oh my God, people are sharing that, like they're talking badly. Whereas like they mightn't be. So I don't even think about it that way. But it's very interesting to see what stories and posts and stuff get shares, because Instagram's algorithm, I think, loves that, loves the shares.
Yeah, I like, I'm just looking through my stories now and I'm like, I mean,
like,
I
what was shared?
Yeah, I'm like, why would people share that? Like, yeah, I know, it's kind of, it is very interesting.
Very interesting platform.
I know, I mean, we could talk about all this all day, but tell me about, so you talked about the Charlotte Tilbury magic cream, is it?
Yeah.
Magic cream was like one of your most, is your most viewed YouTube video. Yeah. What are the skincare or beauty products? Because you seem to be in the know, especially with skincare by Hyrum. That kind of just stand out to you. Maybe two or three products that like really.
I love how now you're like, okay, not a long list, like three. Now
I mean, because I'm the same. I could go on all day.
I have. My main one at the moment is the Dermalogica Daily Microfoliant.
The little beady one that's dry.
No, it's like a powder.
Yeah, sorry, yeah. I call it like beads. But yeah, it's dry.
Yeah, it's dry and you moisturize it into like damp skin. Or you massage it in, sorry.
That, yeah, I love that.
For my texture is like, and also I'm assuming the thing is never ending because I've had it since like January and it's just going nowhere, like.
Yeah, I've loved that for years. Love that product.
Adore that. Then I'm very into SPF at the moment. Like, don't leave my bedroom without SPF on.
Same. Sometimes.
So I have, the current one I'm using is, again, Dermalogica. It's the Invisible Physical one. It's their newest one. But it's like.
It's Dermalogica as well?
Yeah, it's Dermalogica as well. But it gives your skin this most insane glow, but it's SPF.
Huh.
And oh, it's very, I won't leave my room without SPF now since learning about like the importance.
Yeah, no, I'm in the industry as well and in the business of wearing SPF all the time.
Oh, you like, and then my third one. I'm going to pick a cheaper one now because I have like seven here. So I'm going to. So have you used the Ordinary, their new, the peeling solution, the red masky thing? The AHA,
no.
AHA one.
I'm a bit, now, sorry, what's, so I'm a bit, I'm not a big Ordinary supporter.
Okay.
So I'm just going to, I want to just see the percentage of AHA versus BHA. So that's 30% AHA, AHA and 2% BHA. Okay. Yeah.
And it's a 10-minute like exfoliating solution, but you have to work up to the 10 minutes because like depending on your skin. But I don't know, it's just a mask. It's because a lot of my skincare products are admittedly expensive. But that was one.
Well, I think that Dermalogica is good value for what it is. And I think,
yes,
skincare can be reasonable. But unfortunately, skincare cannot be cheap. If you find skincare that is really cheap for, maybe you're thinking of buying like a vitamin C or something, and you see something cheaper, that product could be manufactured in a way that depletes the actual integrity of the ingredients. Whereas something like Drunk Elephant, say, for example, now, I don't own anything, never tried the brand before, but Drunk Elephant, they manufacture their products in a way that make it, that ensures the ingredients are performed at their, that perform
yeah,
at their
and
best.
Stay whereas,
and stay fresh. So you have to take into consideration the manufacturing process and actually what it's going to do for your skin and not just what it says on the bottle. So I don't think that, I mean,
that's
Drunk Elephant is quite expensive.
Ordinary product I have, to be honest.
Yeah, and so the issue with the Ordinary is like people are like, well, why is it so cheap? And skincare, that guy Skincare by Hyrum also talks about this a little bit, but people say, well, why is the Ordinary so cheap? Because that product that you were talking about just there was probably like €8 or something, was it?
I think it was actually a bit more expensive, but definitely less than 20.
Yeah, so like to just generally their products, like I got like a hydrator from them and it was like $7, like so
yeah,
like,
oh, it's very cheap. Like, yeah.
Yeah, very cheap. And like their foundation is like $6 or something like that. But the issue with them is that they make skincare products that are very potent. And yeah, there's not a lot of education behind the brand. So if you compare it to, and I'm totally biased because I work for the brand, but Paula's Choice skincare.
I'm dying to try bits from Paula's Choice. It's on my list. I'm trying to get it, but it's all sold out.
Yes. So wait, you can get it on Cloud 10 Beauty. I tell everybody this.
I was looking on Cult. I'm literally going to look. You've no idea. I'm a bargain queen. Like, I want a website that has free shipping, that I can use Honey to get my discount, some form of discount. And like, I just am weak for getting things on a budget, like not on a budget, but like cheaper than they should be, if that makes sense. I don't know.
That's because like, you're a Taurus.
I love a good bargain. Like, as in, it literally gets me so excited to get a good bargain. And I was looking at the Paula's Choice AHA and BHA solution. Yeah.
Yes, that's just it. Launched. So that's going to be, we just launched that. I haven't even tried it, but.
Or the 2% liquid exfoliant is the one, Tari.
So the 2% is the creme de la creme of beauty products. This will be written, 2% BHA will be written on my grave. Like, I love that product because, and I love Paula's Choice because it's based on science, but Paula's Choice has a lot of similar products to The Ordinary, but The Ordinary, they give products that are very cheap. So you're kind of wondering, well, how is this product so cheap? Like, what are the ingredients in there that are making it so cheap? But what kind of a theory is about The Ordinary, or Deciem, which owns The Ordinary. Deciem itself has loads of different brands that some of them are really expensive, and then you have one of them is The Ordinary, which is not expensive at all. So what they do is they take the price cut and they make the money off the other brands to compensate for the price cut off The Ordinary, and that's kind of like their buying strategy.
Yeah.
So you'll find people will buy in on The Ordinary, and then other brands under the Deciem umbrella will kind of, they'll, you know, be drawn towards, and they'll make their money that way. That's one theory. I don't know if it's true or not, but my issue with The Ordinary is that they put a lot of products out, especially the product that you're just after speaking about, which is a 30% AHA and a 2% AHA combination, which can be very tough on your skin. And if people don't know how to use products like that, it can really actually damage your skin. You know,
and like, so mixing the ingredients. So like, I know with this, I can't use my retinol the day I use it, and I can't use my vitamin C.
And you have to use SPF after.
Yeah, have to. So, and I know, like, a lot of people would message me about The Ordinary stuff, and I'm like, yes, it's good, but you have to be so careful what you mix, because people just buy all these solutions, like the vitamin C, the niacinamide, the retinol, the all these acids and think they can use them all together, but like, some ingredients cannot be mixed at all. And I think The Ordinary doesn't tell people that.
Yeah, they don't put any money into education and making brands safe. Whereas with Paula's Choice or other brands that are like Paula's Choice, that they have this solution. So Paula's Choice just launched a version, and it's a 25% AHA and 2% BHA exfoliant peel. So that's like a little bit more on the safer side.
Yeah.
But they're all kind of about like, they won't put one isolated. So you'll find with The Ordinary, you'll get an isolated ingredient. You'll get just niacinamide on its own, or just rosehip oil on its own, or just retinol. Yeah. Whereas Paula's Choice, you can never solve all your skin problems at one ingredient. So with Paula's Choice, they kind of merge some ingredients that support the product as a whole, so that you're not just slapping on one ingredient, you know, that you're getting supporting ingredients in there. And that's, again, what makes it a little bit more expensive than most. But the 2%
I've been dying to try Paula's Choice.
Like, if you need recommendations, like, I got you. Like, I know exactly what I want people to use.
It's actually sold out on Cloud 10 as well. Oh, they have an EU website.
No way. Yeah, I think they do ship to Ireland.
Yeah, they have an EU. I'm going to check that, because I've been looking on, I use Feel Unique and, like, Look Fantastic a lot. because they always have discounts and sales and free shipping, which I adore. But it might take a bit longer, especially with the global pandemic situation, to get to me. But then I just called Beauty during the week. And because it was like a birthday present for my mom. My mom's birthday's on Sunday. And she always comes to the end of my stairs and she's like, do you have any like moisturizer for me? Like, she just doesn't know about like serums and oils and all these kind of, and I'm like, I'm not a beauty shop. Like, yes, like I don't get sent enough to have all this for you. And we've such different skin types. So I basically got her like a box of personalized, like I did a full skincare routine for her kind of thing. But I ordered it all on Cult Beauty. Oh. And it was because I ordered like over a certain amount, it was like priority shipping kind of thing for free, which I was buzzed about. And I had a 15% code because my birthday code. So I was like,
you're the bargains.
Oh my God, I'm so bad. You've no idea. So I ordered it at like 12 o'clock on Tuesday and it was here at 10 o'clock on Wednesday. And I was like, okay, wow. Like that doesn't happen in County Kerry in Ireland. Do you get me?
That is gas. Do you think they have dispatch, like a dispatcher in like a, maybe some sort of place where they hold the goods in Ireland?
I don't think so. Because it's a UK. I don't know how it got to me so fast, to be honest. But I was very impressed. And then I kind of made a mental note that like, maybe I can't get the best bargains on there the whole time, but I know it's going to be here quickly.
That's gas, yeah. So it's like you fighting between having a bargain that you love or just having something like delivered immediately.
Yeah, and I always use their English site as well because the whole pound situation.
Yeah, yeah, that's interesting. So that's Cult Beauty.
Yeah, Cult Beauty is one of my, like, I don't use it often. And at the moment as well, I'm being like, did you see the movement from, you know, Uoma Beauty or Oma Beauty? Uoma? U-O-M-A.
U-O-M-A. No, what is this?
So their CEO, Sharon, made this basically Instagram page and it's called Pull Up or Shut Up. So it's basically...
That's their Instagram page? We just worked on this yesterday.
Yeah, so she, like, Sharon is the CEO of Uoma Beauty, and she basically, after everything that was happening in America, she launched the Pull Up or Shut Up movement that was really backed by Jackie Aina, and I think Jackie Aina really publicized it a lot. So basically, I've been keeping an eye on that page, kind of seeing who I want to align myself with, like even with like things like Cult Beauty or brands that I'd use. And I'm really getting into not only using a brand because I like the product.
Like Jackie Aina, you love her, don't you?
Oh, I love her. Oh, Jackie Aina is fantastic. I think you'd really like her.
Yeah, you know what? I've seen her. No, I don't. I mean, I really just don't watch YouTube at all, or yeah. I don't like. But we actually, because for anybody who doesn't know, the Pull Up and Shut Up thing, Pull Up or Shut Up is like, it's part of, I don't even know how to describe it. Basically, they had all these beauty companies all made statements on their efforts towards
diversity. You know,
diversity and what they're like owning up to what they're doing wrong or what they had done wrong in the past. Like when I say that, I mean, they aren't where they need to be in terms of being a more diverse company, whether that be in employment or whatever it might be. And Pull Up or Shut Up are like regramming that as a movement. I'm probably not explaining it that well. And
she basically called for all brands within 72 hours of her making the page, because the page was only made like last week or the week before. So she called for all brands to basically, because all these brands were posting, you know, the black squares and whatever. And she was basically like, okay, like, we don't need a black square. We need you to pull up or shut up is kind of the whole mindset behind it. So I've been really keeping an eye on that page and kind of like, I guess I knew some of the brands that I like, you know, some of the information that's coming out isn't very shocking, But I've just been trying to like say, I don't know, have you heard or used, you know, the Sol de Janeiro bum bum cream?
I know that brand, yes. Yeah.
So I have been falling in love with that recently. Like, it's one of my ride or dies. And I basically was on YouTube the last day and a video came up with the CEO of the company. And she was just talking about like the whole like mission of the brand and like what their aim is and kind of all that. And I was like thinking to myself, and I was like, you know what? I use and promote so many brands and products and this and that, whatever. So I'm like, there's more than just, you know, a face mask or a hair mask or a shampoo. Like, I was like, I'd like to really like get to know some, because obviously some things are a lot more expensive as well. So it makes me feel better about spending my money again, Taurus. When like, I'm like, oh yeah, but like, I love that brand. And like, I love the message behind it and like the whole kind of 360 of it. If that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah.
Very interesting.
Yeah. And actually, I think because I work in the beauty industry and, you know, I have to help these brands navigate, you know, some of this communications around the whole Black Lives Matter movement and getting them to work towards being in a better place with diversity. Like, we spoke a lot about this pull up or shut up page and what we would say. And like, we as the company that I work for, we are so like, as a white woman, I'm in the minority. Like, there's only one other white woman in the agency, actually, I think, who's my boss.
Yeah,
but everybody else is not white. So, you know, they're doing a breakdown of all the the different people that they employ. Yeah, and so I think Sephora did a great one. Sephora and again, Paula's Choice, I think, did a great statement. And I think Sephora is one.
Dermalogica did a great one too, actually.
Yes, did they? I must read that
on the, yeah. I don't think it was put up on the pull up or shut up, but I saw on their UK. They posted on the Dermalogica UK, and I think Cult Beauty did. I've just been really. I have a notes, like I have a list of my notes of like brands that like I shouldn't really. I'm very like, I like to be very in the know about things, so I don't come off as tone deaf.
No, yeah, totally, totally. Like, you want to do your homework on these brands because it's so important. Like, if we are going to spend our money or going to promote something, like, it needs to be right. Like, you know, and the thing is, you might pick up a lipstick and not think anything of it. And, you know, we have to also stop and think about like, well, what am I supporting? And, you know, can I do better? Like, can I do better with this message?
Because there's so much choice now, I think, do you know the way before there wasn't like so many brands and so much choice, and especially depending where you were from, what you had access to because the internet. Whereas now I feel like there's really no excuse for me as someone who's trying to work in this industry and potentially will work with brands. Like, I work with one or two brands at the moment, but like in the future, I hope to align myself with more brands. But I'm like, okay, I don't want to align myself with a brand that, like, I don't even want to put that in my remit or like put myself in the situation where I would consider working with a brand if I didn't align with them 100%.
Yeah, no, totally. And
I think that's rare as well.
I think it's rare, you know, and I turn down so much stuff just because, like, it's just like, not.
Yeah,
I just turned in so much stuff because, yeah. But it's important for us because, you know, we talk about posting the black square but then doing something. And as an influencer or a beauty, like somebody who's enthusiastic about beauty or an advocate for beauty or whatever you want to call it, like, it's important that we can make those decisions to get to educate ourselves on the background of these brands and to support the brands that are making changes and are actively you know, becoming better. I think it's
and
really
like
important.
Pay a bit more, but then like feel better because you're like, well, I know this is more than I'd usually spend, but I'm promoting something that's good. I really align with the brand's values. I know the brand are like more either ethically produced or like, you know, they take care of whoever their like employees, and you know, they are working to be better, and they're like, they're a brand that isn't afraid to be. I know a lot of people were saying it was political, but it wasn't really, because it was more of a human rights thing. But like,
it kind
a
of
brand.
Is just human rights.
But it what like so many people were like, oh, but that's very political to be getting into. And I'm like, are you, what way does your brain work? Because it's not politics.
It's actually just the rights of a human being.
Like. Yeah. And I like, but like, and even I just use like, but even another brand, I don't know, have you heard it? Sand and Sky?
No. Jeez, I don't know anything.
Sand and Sky. Oh my God. The Australian pink clay mask. You definitely have seen ads for it, I feel. Sand and Sky. It's like sand and then the and, like not the word, the asterisk or nothing.
Okay, I just Googled it. Never seen it in my life.
So basically, they're an Australian brand. And you know Amreezy?
Yes. Yeah.
I've been following her for the longest and I adore her vibe. She's actually recently on YouTube. But anyway, so I'd say about 3 years ago, she was talking about this mask and she was like, my main problem is my pores. And she was like, it's amazing. Like, it wasn't an ad or anything. She doesn't actually, maybe she does do a lot of ads, but just doesn't declare them. But like, she was so going on about this mask. I was like, okay, I have to try it. So I tried it like 3 years ago and consistently kind of used it since. And then they got in contact with me in December, I think it was, of this year, and sent me out like a mask and a few more of their products. And I was delighted because I was like, you know, I've been actually using this brand for the longest and I love it. And it's actually their third birthday next month or this month. And they're doing a big birthday thing with like anyone they've worked with. Like, they want to showcase like that they've such a good brand relationship with everyone they work with. And like, the emails are so like, the girl I'd be talking to would be like, oh, I just saw your YouTube video. And like, do you know, it's very, and when I feel like you're smaller in the whole influencer beauty, YouTube, Instagram world, a lot of people don't take the time to even like address you. Like, it'd just be like, hi there, you know? But I got a message, circling back to the Black Lives Matter situation. I got a message, you know, the morning of the blackout Tuesday.
Yes.
So I woke up to a DM on Instagram from Sand and Sky, basically being like, like a big message, basically saying that because of everything that's going on and they want to align themselves properly with the movement. So for the next week, could I not post anything to do with Sand and Sky and kind of promoting them? And like, any work that was scheduled to be done or any posts or anything would be on hold for, you know, the week, and that they're going to be offline and, you know, everything they plan to do and all the action they plan to take. And I just thought, yeah, like, when I got that message, I was like, what, like, fair play, like, you know, because it's like they took the time to make sure that, because I haven't done much work with them or anything like that, but they took the time to make sure every single person that, you know, might be posting about them or might be doing anything would kind of be aware of that, which I thought was very good as a brand.
Yeah, but that is really actually interesting angle, like, to take, to say we want to protect ourselves, but also not protect, but we want to make sure that we are educating ourselves and taking this time to do what's right ourselves. But we also want to do the same and help other people also make the right decisions at this time. This very important time to also do the right thing and do better. So that's really interesting.
Like, when I saw that, I was like, okay, I like, mental note. Okay, we love that brand. We stand that brand. Yes. Do you know,
so
that kind of
way? We'll hear way more about them now from you.
Like, you should try the mask, Jet. Like, it's in Sephora.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure.
Let me see. I have beauty products.
I know. I say you have so many. You're like, yeah, I know. I've heard all these right.
I don't know if it has like fragrance or anything crazy.
It could.
In there.
I'm not, hold on. I have the thing in my hand.
So wait, what's their bestseller? Is their pink clay
pore pink refining Australian mask? Pink clay, yeah, pore refining mask. But it says like Australian botanicals, like made in Australia. I'm pretty sure it's more on the clean, I could be wrong, side of life.
Yeah, it's it is a little bit expensive. It's coming up here for me like $50.
Yeah. It would be kind of on the glam glow. But like,
yeah,
what it says is all the Australian goodness, none of the bad. So no sulfates, silicones, parabens, I don't know, all those things.
Yeah, that's very interesting.
I like it.
Well, that's good to hear.
Yeah. And like, do you know when a brand's like that as well, you're like, okay, I'm comfortable kind of promoting and using and because they're so, like, they're only 3 years in business.
Yeah, and I think it's great for you to be able to be a part of that and to know that you're making the right decisions with a brand like Sand and Sky, you know. And I think hopefully other brands are doing something similar with their influencers. And
yeah, I know, it's just a crazy time to be in, like, not a crazy time to be in the beauty industry, but I was even talking to my friend who's a makeup artist. Like, she does a lot of like TV and, you know, that kind of special effects and stuff like that. And she was like, it's like you're trying to align yourself with, like, it's more than just recommending a lipstick now. You get, like, you're trying to, like, align yourself with the brand as a whole. And I think, like, a lot of brands are either going to sink or swim in that area.
Yeah, I think the brands who haven't been doing the right thing up till now need to just lay on their sword and open up. And I think there's more respect for people to say,
yeah, and when you're honest,
we haven't, yeah, we haven't employed enough, you know, women of color, and
we know that we need to,
and our numbers are a disgrace, and this is what we're going to do to change it. And because we'll circle back and show the changes, and we will show the changes that we have made as a brand.
Yeah. And I think a lot of the more old school brands would kind of be of the mindset, no, we just won't address it and it'll blow over, kind of thing. And like, we just will stay quiet and we won't address anything. But you're actually better off being like, no, we actually only have, say, like 1%, but we're trying to do X, Y, and Z, and this is what we're doing, and this is how we're going to go about it. And like, basically, we hold our hands up, kind of thing.
Yeah, I know. So important. It's kind of, actually, this conversation is a nice segue into one of your quotes. And I quote, you said, fuck beauty standards.
Yeah.
So that's a very strong statement. And this has kind of merged into the other question that I had for you about, like, good vibes. And, you know, you're always quite positive on Instagram and very real. And just kind of like, kind of more as like a holistic, you know, be your own person, have your own mind, make your own mind up, and work out your own opinions. Were you always like that, or like, were your parents like that, or what, like, how did that all kind of start?
So circling back to being a Taurus, I would be very stubborn, and I would have always had an opinion about something growing up. Like, I am very strong minded, and like, even like my earliest memories, this is hilarious. One of my earliest memories is I was in Dublin, like my family were in Dublin visiting my cousins, going to the zoo, and my mom wanted me to wear a certain outfit, and I like was like, absolutely not, like that is not happening. Like, I was probably three, and I remember we were at the zoo and I wanted a teddy, and because I didn't wear the outfit my mom wanted to, she was like, no, you can't, like, I'm not buying that for you, like, you didn't. And I was like, that's fine, like, I don't care. And I just, like, my earliest memories are me being absolutely but and just being like, well, I don't want to do that, so why would I do that to make you happy? Which is really bad.
That's but such a Taurus, though.
But like, I'm not like set, like, I wouldn't say I'm selfish. I'd be quite an empath, and I'd be able to like gauge people's feelings and stuff. But if I know something isn't going to work for me, I'm very strong in it. Because yeah. I feel like when I was a teenager, like say I was maybe more overweight and I had acne and I had braces and I had glasses. So like, I feel like I was so aware of, I think self-awareness is a big part of it. So I feel like I'm mad following Gary Vee, and I think he has changed my whole life.
he changed my life as well.
Fuck beauty standards probably does come from like following Gary Vee and like his whole thing of like fuck the narrative or fuck, you know. And
yeah.
I just feel like so many people waste so much of their time trying to conform to these beauty standards that are ultimately made by the media and men. Mm-hmm. That, like, why? Like, what will you achieve? Like, if that doesn't ultimately make you happy, or even, like, people think it will make them happy, but, like, it's so, like, if you focus on being yourself and doing you and forming your own opinions about everything, not just about certain subjects, like you'll be such a more well-rounded person and you'll ultimately care less about what everything, because so many people are like, oh, I'd love to do what you do, but like I could never because I could, like people think, like, and so many people like put above themselves other people's opinions ahead of their own, so they're more worried about like what other people will think than what they ultimately think of themselves.
Yeah, like one of the quotes like that is kind of old, it's like your opinion is none of my business.
Yeah, like, exactly.
Everybody has their own opinion, and that is just a thought that they have created in their head, and it doesn't affect anything about me. It's your thoughts in your head.
It's a projection, yeah. And most of it's a projection as well.
Yeah, so I just, yeah, it's very interesting when you kind of think of it that way. And I think, why would, when you break it down for yourself and you say, well, why would I let somebody else's thoughts in their head like have any impact on what I feel about myself when they don't know, nobody knows you as well as you know yourself.
No,
you know,
and no one, like what I always say as well, like you're the only person who has to live in your head, like no one else has like an insight to what, so if you don't make that the most like happy positive place that you can, then you're doing yourself an injustice, because no one else will know what's going on in your head. No one else will know they're causing that to go on in your head. Like they're not affected by that, by what's going on in your head. You are. So, and I think I'm aware as well that like 80% of my following is girls, and that they range from age like 18 to 35 is like the main kind of gap. So I'm like, if I can provide them with any sort of value, going back to Gary Vee, provide value, it's like, fuck beauty standards and like, fuck trying to be whatever you think you should be and just be you.
Yeah, I know. It is so true. It's so funny you say 80%. I feel like 99% of my followers are female.
Yeah, see, with Instagram as well, because I'm only after like, growing, but I still only have like 4,000 or whatever. But a lot of like, when you're from I'm from a small town in Kerry, so a lot of people follow me are like people I know, like lads I know, or like, you know, lads from my town, or like it's a small town, so kind of everyone knows everyone kind of thing. So I'm assuming that's where the 20% men come from.
Yeah,
still a big enough percent though.
It is. It is a big percent. Yeah, that's interesting.
Or TikTok, you know, people coming from there.
Oh, are you really active on TikTok?
I discovered TikTok, but I was kind of on the earlier train of TikTok. So it was last summer when I downloaded it and discovered it. So it was when Charli D'Amelio was like just popping off. But I didn't really post. I was just like looking at the content and being like in my own head. And I saw Gary Vee talking about it as well. And I was like, this is going to pop off because people have such short attention spans. The videos are all less than a minute. It's video. And I know Gary was saying that like video is the next big thing. And it's very positive vibes on, well, a lot of the things, like it's people having, doing fun dances or fun challenges or like pranks. And I was like, it's so much more lighthearted than Instagram is, that I was like, this is kind of a thing. So I started posting, I won't say properly, because I don't post, like, some days I'd post like 3 times a day and other days I wouldn't post for a week. But I have like nearly 15,000 followers on it and over 200,000 likes.
Oh my God, that's really good.
It's, but TikTok, you can, like, I put up a video yesterday actually because I went to Penny's for the first time. And I put up just a video being like, oh, I'm going into Penny's. And I just did like a clip of the queue and like a clip of what Joe. TikTok is very minimal effort, depending on the video you're doing. And it has, as of right this, 70,000 views.
70,000 views?
TikTok is insane. Like, I put up a video on St. Patrick's Day. Actually, it's very funny. I don't know, did you see out my story of my parents and all their friends? Because I live in like a small estate. There'd be like 10 houses maybe. So like my mom would be great friends with like the neighbors and stuff. And I put up a TikTok on St. Patrick's Day of them doing like a socially distanced party. So my dad, his, one of his hobbies is like being a DJ. So he, like a wedding DJ, not like a Ibiza DJ. And he brought out the, like, the speakers and everything, and they were playing like St. Patrick's Day music. And I put up a video of my mom and my neighbor doing an Irish dance. Hold on, I'm trying to find the video now.
I'm afraid to look at it in case it like is really loud on this podcast.
Yeah, but TikTok, when you open TikTok, it automatically plays the music. So I have my phone muted. But the video I put up on St. Patrick's Day of like out the window, my mom and my neighbor doing an Irish dance, has 300,000 views.
What? That is insane.
Oh, TikTok, the TikTok's algorithm is like, you could reach anyone anywhere.
But I've posted like 3 things and like literally got like 2 views. And I'm like, that's kind of funny. And then I would get like 1 view.
Yeah, I think it depends on your caption, what time you post it, and your hash, like, the other way on Instagram, like certain hashtags work.
Yeah.
Whereas on TikTok, it's more like you hashtag exactly. The hashtag kind of explains it. I literally just followed you on TikTok. I didn't know you were on it. And I literally just went on. I was like, oh. But yeah, TikTok's very, it's going to be, well, it is. Sure, Charli D'Amelio has like 60 million followers. Or something mental.
That's
like
insane.
That. Insane. And but she's like 16.
It just kind of like, are people getting brand deal? Like, I'm not seeing brand deals on TikTok. Yeah. Like, no, I know that they're happening. Like, I know that they're happening somewhere, but I'm not seeing a lot of it. Like, I don't know. It's just, I don't know. It's a strange one.
But in America, do you know the way in Ireland, there's this whole thing with the, oh, what's it called? Do you know the thing that people report people to? The ASAI? The advertising. Yes. Do you know the way, like, I know like a few Irish bloggers would get like very attacked. Like, they literally wear something they got them for free and don't have hashtag gifted, and people go in on them. Like, some people just get a lot of, but is in America, like, do you have to declare, like, what's the story there?
I think it actually falls back on the brand a little bit more. Like, yeah, no, they're not as crazy over here about all that.
In Ireland, there's a very small-minded mindset around it, though. They're like, why are people getting paid for this? I don't understand.
Yeah, no, absolutely, yeah.
Whereas, you're in, like, even in the advertising industry, sure, long ago, like, it was the travel journalists would get all these, like, free holidays, and, you know, no one would know about it because it wasn't general knowledge.
Yeah.
Like, it's always been happening.
Yeah, no, that's so true. Yeah, it's funny. But yeah, I must do some more work on TikTok and see if I can play TikTok's around with it a bit better.
But it, like, and it's so, like, it's the most random videos that go, that can go viral. Like, anything can go viral on TikTok.
People are like, so smart, though, like, with their videos. Yeah. Like, I'm just not that kind of witty, like, to make a video like that.
Like, I should probably put a bit more effort into it, because if I have 15,000 from put it, like, I don't put effort. Do that kind of way. Like, I just post random. So I'm like, okay, maybe if I actually, then it might transfer over. So I feel like YouTube, like, people only subscribe to you if they really want to watch what you're putting up. Whereas, like, you can follow and unfollow people on Instagram, like, ad hoc.
Yeah. I know, it's so different how the platforms are. I think definitely people are welcoming a platform like TikTok, because it is just different to the YouTube and Instagram that really has dominated the social media space for such a long time. You know, and Snapchat as well. But, like, yeah, I think people are going to welcome TikTok. And, like, it's I don't think it's, like, an age thing, like, because I feel like my dad has definitely sent me TikToks, like, that he's, not that he's on TikTok, but he's, like, he's been passed around to TikTok.
Yeah,
they get sent around, like, so I think that, like, it's definitely not an age thing, like, people, like, you know, it's going to evolve, I think.
Fun, like.
Yes, it puts you in a good mood, like, straight away, because it's so funny.
Yeah, which I think it's very fun, and it's very, like, I don't know. I just, and like 60-second videos, you don't have to put that much thought into them. And it's not, do the way Instagram, like, you would post one post on your feed maybe once a day maximum. Like, you wouldn't post really more than that. Whereas, like, TikTok, you post 7 TikToks in a day, because the main, like, homepage isn't people you follow. It's people you don't follow.
Yeah, which is total opposite to pretty much every, like, social media platform. Yeah.
It was a great, because it was the other thing. It was the, what was it called before that? Like, Musical.ly or something.
So I knew the platform when it was Musical.ly. And I always, like, question myself. I'm like, wait, is Musical.ly TikTok? Is that a thing? Or is Musical.ly still a separate thing? But it's actually the same app.
Yeah. I think the app just I don't know, like, did they just, you know, say if you were on Musical.ly and you had loads of followers on Musical.ly. Did all those followers stay, and was it just TikTok then? I'm not sure.
Yeah, that's a good question. You wouldn't want to have had, like, 2 million followers on Musical.ly.
Yeah, and then, like, disappear.
Yeah, that's gas. Right, well, before we finish up, I want to ask you a little about, like, your dream situation, or, like, your dream life that you're kind of working towards, that you're extending your vibes towards, that you're, like, projecting. Yeah, you're manifesting. Like, what kind of things? And this can be whatever way you want to answer. It doesn't have to be, you know, very basic. But what kind of things are you, like, I'd love to do that, or I'd love to be able to say I've done that, or I'd love to experience, like, X, Y, and Z.
Well, at the moment, like, my dream life, basically, if you're thinking work wise, is I never want to work a conventional 9-to-5, like, where I have a boss, basically, because I come from a family of lots of entrepreneurs. Like, most of my parents own their own business, their brothers and sisters would own their own businesses. Like, it's a, like, pubs or bars or hairdressers or whatever. So I've just grown up around that. So I remember, like, a few years ago when I was younger, I was working in a spa shop, and two of the women, like, one wanted the weekend off for a wedding and one wanted the weekend off for a christening. And, like, you know, the boss had to choose. So one of them just couldn't go because they were working. And I remember in my head being like, it didn't register in my head that, like, someone would tell me I can't have the time off, because I know you have to work, obviously, but I'd rather work, like, really hard for 2 months straight and then be like, okay, I have a month off now to do what I want to do. So I definitely think my dream is to be, like, doing what I love and always having a passion for it, but ultimately being in control of what I'm doing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes sense. So, like, being your own boss, basically.
Yeah. And, like, obviously YouTube is, like, a big part of the plan. Like, I adore YouTube, and I just love the whole process, not even just posting videos, you know, because I feel like if you don't love it, there's no way you'd do it. Like, I'm nearly doing it consistently for a year now, and like, it's not like it's my full-time earner, like, but so much work goes into it, but I love the work that goes into it, if that makes sense.
Yeah, you really have to love, like, I'm the same with Instagram. I even, like, and I have no shame in saying that, like, sometimes stuff on Instagram is most definitely planned, and, like, I'll look at my calendar, and I'll be like, right, well, I have this going on, like, you know, there's content around this, like, what could I do, how can I make it interesting, like, I'll absolutely do that with Instagram.
But, like, I wish my mind worked that way.
Yeah, like, I'll be like, right, well, what will my content look like? And then I'll be like, what kind of, like, things? And a lot of it comes down to, like, well, what do people who follow me want to see? And, like, yeah. I'm trying to really help. And I've thought about more of this in quarantine, of, like, how I can really provide value to people. Like, if somebody said to me, oh my God, thank you so much, that was really helpful, like, that is my day made. Like, if I can help somebody with
something, isn't it the best feeling?
It's just like, yes, like, let me make the mistakes and let me show you what to do or what not to do. Like, I really,
like, even when you recommended that book and I felt like the need to message you, because I know how, like, if I recommend something and someone loves it, when they message me I feel so good. So I was like, I actually just have to message Stephanie and tell her that, oh my God, it's actually one of the best books I've ever read.
Yes, and that's Hustle Harder, Hustle Smarter by Curtis Jackson. Isn't it
Hustle Harder, Hustle Smarter. Oh my, I was telling the girls last night and they were like, hold on, you're reading a book, 50 cents book? I was like, oh yeah. And they were like, and what's he talking about? I was like, well, he was talking about vision boards at one stage, and they were like, no, 50 cents. And I was like, yeah, well, it's Curtis Jackson. So I was like, it's not, like, 50 Cent is a character almost. And they were like, what? And I was like, yeah. And he talks about, like, good energy and positive vibes and your mindset. And they were like, and I recommended it to them all. I was like, honestly, it's a real find. Like,
yeah, no, I love that book. Love that. And I'll put that in the description box as well, just so people can also get the value out of it. But yeah, no, love it. And it's definitely not what you think. I don't know actually what put me onto it.
Did someone recommend it to you, or like, how did that come about?
I think because I love a bit of biographies. Like, I love to hear, like, before that I read Jessica Simpson's book, which is totally different, it's just about her life, and then Michelle Obama's book, and when 50 Cent, he only launched that book in March, I think it was, like, it was in the,
oh,
like,
really?
In the middle of quarantine. Yeah, like, it's super new, so, like, he kind of came out with that book and I was like, oh, there's another book that, like, is a biography. Or I think it's autobiography. Yeah, but autobiography. So, like, I'd kind of gone through Jessica Simpson, Michelle Obama.
Oh,
like,
okay. So you were on that kind of train anyway.
Yeah, and I was like, there we go. Like, you know, hustle harder, hustle smarter. And I was like, let's do it. So, really, really liked. And if anybody's listening who is in the US, I don't know if this is available in Ireland or outside of the US, but there's basically, if you're a person who listens to audiobooks, there's an app called Libro FM. So, like, Libro.fm. And basically you are supporting smaller bookstores or black owned bookstores.
Unreal.
Or just kind of like your neighborhood bookstore. So instead of like putting your money into Amazon and, you know, that monopoly of Amazon. I mean, I use Amazon a lot. Yeah. I mean, we love Jeff, but like,
we love Jeff.
I have a subscription to Audible, and I also have a subscription to Libro, because Libro, because it is a smaller bookstore place, it doesn't have every book. It has like most books that you'll search for, but then Audible also, you kind of get a book for the credit of like $15, whatever it is. And to me, that's good value. So it's just another way to get like a cheaper book. But Libro FM, if you want to support.
Yeah, I just went onto the website. It says that you need an American or Canadian credit card.
Oh yeah, okay, yeah.
Because I was thinking that the last day, I was actually saying it in my vlog, and I was like, look, I do use Audible, because I was like, I love like playing a book and like cleaning my room or whatever, but I was like, there's nothing at the moment in Ireland that you can replace it with. So we just have to Audible it out.
Is Audible the only one?
I think so. I don't know of any other one that would have like, I think it is.
Yeah.
Probably. I'd imagine. Like I'd say Libro might extend to maybe worldwide, potentially.
I think it's ideally like I would recommend it so much more, but I just know that everybody who follows me isn't in the US, you know?
Yeah, but oh, such a good book, like such a
Yes,
good
definitely
book.
recommend. Full of loads of little nuggets in this podcast.
Oh, I'd be lit. And like because I'm listening to an Audible as well, he's narrating it, which I adore. Like I won't buy a book on Audible if it's not narrated by the person who wrote it. And it's just like I'm like listening to him and I'm like, you are a genius.
Have
And like,
you heard, like, have you read Atomic Habits, or you haven't read it yet?
yes, I have it and I've read it.
That's another good one. I literally finished it yesterday, and I need to actually just repeat the whole thing again, because there's so many good things in Atomic Habits. Like, it's such a good book.
have you read The Chimp Paradox?
No, that's
Mind
on my list
Management.
though.
Oh, that one is all. I don't read storybooks, like all I read is nonfiction.
Yeah, no, definitely. Chimp Paradox is on my. I've a ton. Yeah, none of them are fiction. I think I have one fiction book on there, but I don't read.
See, I got too invested in stories and they would just affect, because I'm such an empath, they would just affect me. Like I remember when I was younger, I read this book called A Girl Called Blue. And I don't know what the story was. I can't remember, but I just know it's but I think it was by an Irish author. But it was so tragic and so it's actually about the Oh, it's about the child. I just Googled it, sorry. It's about the suffering of children in care of the church and the state in orphanages.
What?
Oh, it was. I read it when I was young. Like, I'd say I was about 12 or 13, like school, like primary school. And it's literally, it was so devastatingly sad. I was like, I can never. Yeah, it's O'Brien. Like, it's Marita Conlon McKenna, like an Irish author. But it was such like October 2003 is when it came out. And it's age range 10 to 12. So it's a children's book, but like devastating. And ever since then, I was like, okay, no, that affected me way too much.
Yeah, I
Like
used
so
to read a lot
random.
of Jacqueline Wilson's books.
I was upset. Like every
Loved
Jacqueline.
them.
Oh. I loved them now. They were great.
Yeah, but some of them were a little bit tough as well. Like, you
They were
know, there was.
all like about kind of children's struggle. Like,
Yeah, family breakups and
yeah.
issues with family, yeah.
Like, a lot of them were kind of heavy to be reading.
Yeah.
But I
Yeah,
did
they.
like them now. Oh, remember the
Yeah.
one, Vicky Angel?
See, I don't remember that. Well, I think anything that was like, I remember the Bad Girls Club, I think it was called. Hang on now, Vicky Angel.
I just saw the
I
cover of it
loved
there when I
them.
Googled it, and I remember it was very sad because I think her friend died or something.
Yes, I remember. Yeah.
Jacqueline Wilson books were, I remember the one called Candy or Candy Floss, because I remember it from the big,
Yes.
I have a photographic kind of memory, and I remember the cover of it because I
And
got the
Lola
hardback.
Rose, like the Illustrated
Oh,
Mom, the
yes.
Suitcase Kid.
Best
I don't
Friends. Oh
really
my
remember
God, the
what they're
Best
about.
Friends one. Either do I, but I just remember they had a Candy Floss, I think was kind of sad. Like her parents were like
Sleepovers?
split up and she used.
I think it'd be weird if I read them again. Like,
I know, I don't even know where mine are. Like my mom definitely has them somewhere, I'm assuming. Waterstones gave it a 5 out of 5, Candy Floss.
some of them are a bit risque now for kids, like.
Yeah, I think Lola Rose wasn't it?
Lola Rose is a bit of the older one. Like, I didn't get that till I was about 12 or 13. Like,
oh, this is awful. I'm just reading the blurb, and it's like, Janie's violent-tempered father becomes frightening to cope with, and her mom and her brother are forced to escape in the middle of the night.
Oh, I think I remember that.
That's intense. But yeah, I don't read storybooks anymore.
Like, yeah, no, me neither. There's so much other good stuff out there.
I prefer to learn.
Yeah.
I'm very that way.
Yeah, and then if you want something to fry your brain, just jump on YouTube or Netflix or something like that. And yeah, definitely.
Yeah, but I prefer podcasts and books are more like learning material. Like, I want to take something away from it. I want my brain to grow, basically.
Yeah. Well, I don't want to keep you much longer.
Oh my God, we've stuck the chats from Jeffree Star to Lola Rose.
Jeffree Star to Lola Rose, 50 Cent thrown in there as well.
People are going to be listening to this podcast and be like, sorry, where? It's a good one though. It's a good mix.